country, and you're listening to the West Data Podcast.
From the ages, like when you enter high school, there is so much to your brain. It's like a buzzing beehive. Like there's like, okay, you need to memorize to do this. You have to do this. You have to figure out when you're going to get involved, what you're going to do. You have chores to do. You have to get a job. You have to get your license. You have to get a car. You're going to pay for your car. Like, so many things. You're like, so okay, much. Like, yeah, just trying to escape that, like, hole, that, like, dark hole of being like, what do I have to do next, right? Uh-huh. And I wish that teachers and just adults would know how important it is to just be patient.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the West Data Podcast. I say it all the time, but I love this edition. For the very first time, we have West Data students on our podcast with us, and it was fantastic.
It was, you know, when we were planning this, we talked about it could be, you know, it could be a risky move to have students on here. Sure. They're not, you know, typically well spoken, meeting with, you know, doing these kinds of media things.
Yeah, they're more well spoken than I am, so they did a great job. Oh my God,
they knocked it out of the park. What amazing kids. We had Riley Chung, yeah. She's the ASB senior class president from Centennial. Yeah. And yeah. Colby Bond, he's the junior class VP at Vice Renaissance. Yeah. And yeah. Just two very high-achieving, bright and brilliant kids. But they're just so cool, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And as a parent, I was just impressed by the way they approach patience, the way they approach, hey, we are high achievers, mm-hmm. but here's kind of our perspective. Here's our generation's perspective. Yeah. Anyway, it was a fantastic
It's a great listen. And always, as a parent, I take something away. And I certainly know you will, too. Thank you so much for being here. We're really excited to have you today, Riley and Colby. Let's hear about who you are and the things you do outside of school, and then we'll dive into school. So, Riley, you're a senior in high school?
Yeah. It's actually so, it's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a surreal feeling, right? Because you're like pulling into school and just the change is like driving my brother to school the last 2 years. Like, it's like nostalgic. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, I'm not a freshman anymore.
Right? And it happens so fast, right?
Yeah. It's like next thing you know, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm writing college essays. It's right around the corner. Like, I don't want to take another English class in my life. Like,
those essays don't take any time at all, do they?
Oh, no. Right? I mean, you get to a point, right, where you're writing the exact same thing over and over. It's like, who you are? Like, yeah. What have you done? Where do you want to go? Like, what's your dreams? You're like,
would you like to go ahead and just share your essay with us?
Yeah, I'll just like copy and paste it right here. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I love both of you guys. Are so, it's so eclectic, your backgrounds. I mean, I know volleyball for you.
Yeah.
Colby, Irish dance. I just discovered today you're Irish. Tell me about Irish dance. How did that come about?
It is the craziest experience. So like a long time ago, I saw my sister join Irish dance and I was like, oh, it's only for girls. Da, 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 da. And then I started to be like, wait, can I do this? And I saw one of my friends, like now best friend, go up and perform. And I was like, oh my gosh, dudes can totally do this.
Yeah.
And I joined the next week and I've been in it for the last 11 years.
So cool. So that's your competitive older brother thing right there?
100%.
Like, she can do it. I'll show her
exactly.
up.
Exactly.
Now, have you and your sister ever been in a troupe together or does age limit that?
We work together. Actually, we're going to nationals together this summer for Irish dance. Yeah.
Okay. Where are nationals being held?
Grapevine, Texas. I have no idea where that
Grapevine,
is.
Grapevine, Texas. Who
but
knew?
That's what it is.
I can teach you a draw later. It'll be
oh,
great.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. I'll fit right in.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Well, and I know both of you guys are very involved in student government as well. And Riley, I'm not blowing sunshine at you, but you know, Centennial presented to our board meetings. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who are listening or watching, our student councils come and present to the board. It's not an easy thing. You made it look
scary.
It would be scary, but you made it look easy.
I was like shaking underneath that podium. Like, I was like, oh. I mean, I think what makes it easy is constant, like being put in that like space to talk to people constantly about what Centennial's doing. I mean, like we have weekly admin meetings. So me and my vice president, Lorian Williamson, we sit down with our admin like every week. So I'm like in that position, right, to talk and bring up and kind of always put myself on the spot to like answer those deep-rooted like questions and be like, oh, like I'll figure that out for you. Like,
I don't know.
Here's what we're doing.
Right? What amazing life skills though. I mean, get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And grow in it. I mean, mm-hmm. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. I am thankful to like my student council teachers because I never really like understood it. People always are annoyed. Like, why do they always have to like make us do it at work? And I'm like, trust me, like you're going to want to do the work. You're not going to want anyone else to do it. Like, just try. But
yeah. Now, did you start in student council like as a freshman or how did you get into student council?
I think since I was in like middle school, I was always in student council. So then it was just like a thing.
Just a natural progression in high school.
And then freshman year, it was COVID for me. So I didn't really run for anything. I just kind of was like, hey, like, let me get my like toes in the water, figure out what's happening. And then sophomore year is when I ran for positions constantly. So
how about you, Colby? How does it work at Renaissance?
It's same like election thing, but I also didn't get started until my sophomore year because freshman year at Renaissance is definitely a new experience, to say the least.
It is. And now you're a junior, right? And, yes. And Riley, you're a senior. Yes. So you're right at the end. You still have a year left, like carpe diem that whole last year of high school.
Well, and listen, hey, let's be honest. One of the reasons why we wanted to have you on today is you're both leaders. Why is leadership important to both of you? Why is being involved important to you? Riley, if you want to start.
Yeah, I think for me, it was always kind of like something that I enjoyed. And I always saw people around me like always taking like a stance of like speaking their mind and doing what they felt necessary. But I think for me, it was like a way to get myself involved was by like being a leader. And I've always, you know, had dreams and been like, okay, like this is what I want my high school years to look like, right? And so knowing that, okay, hey, if I run for this position or I talk to these people or I get into that wedge in a way, I'm like, okay, I can plan these things. Like I can make sure.
You can
sure.
help shape it.
Yeah. And I kind of witnessed, I think literally a pet peeve of mine is like the communication. And so when I came into student council, I was like, no, like we are communicating. And thankfully my advisors were all on the same page. And like, it's amazing, especially meeting with like the other ASB presidents and listening to the way that they're like they lead.
Right. Right.
It's unique. I think every single person like has a different way to lead, like according to their personality. And I'm just very like an extroverted kind of like do it, like let's get it done, let's make it awesome.
Let's do this.
Yeah, I was like, let's literally make like this year just awesome if I get help kind of control that Stucco class and make sure like, hey, like let's make sure we're on point, let's get what we need to done, like involve everybody, and that's kind of been the centennial way, I feel like.
Well, kind of outside of school, I noticed or I saw that you were a part of the YMCA youth government.
Yeah.
Can you explain that? What is that?
Yeah.
Why has that been a cool experience?
So I think freshman year, I just remember my college career counselor just telling me, hey, like get involved as many things you can. Like it's going to suck, honestly.
Do all the things.
Yeah. Like you can't. No, I don't think anyone ever just like sits down and says, wow, I'm like, this was so fun, just like not really
doing
like,
nothing.
Have a life or like do everything.
Or do everything.
But I think in a way, like I'm so grateful because she was like, hey, like this is just a cool leadership opportunity. And I was like, government, like, I don't know if that's for me. Like, okay. And then I joined. My advisor was great. It's basically what it is, like youth in government. So we have mock judicial legislative courts. So there's court cases, you run for positions. We actually go to the Capitol in April.
Right.
Every year. It is so fun. Last year was like the highlight.
That's cool.
You get all dressed up, you know, like the heels, the pants suits. Like,
we're doing this.
Yeah. All the guys with their like suits on. Yeah. Oh yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. And you actually sit like in the House and Senate chambers. And you have, I mean, every position that you would have in like an adult standpoint, like we take over. Everyone's the Capitol. You don't see anyone except the governor, and it's really fun. It's a great way to kind of like goof off in a way with some bills, but then you also get some really serious ones.
Sure,
that,
sure.
Like, can actually go up to the governor if they get pushed fast enough.
Kind of like that's leading so off cool. of that, Colby, you do speech and debate, which is a lot of presenting to other people and being judged and that kind of thing. How did you just jump right into that?
So my parents always said I was arguing at them too much.
I think I have one of you
at
home.
Yeah, exactly, right? That's the all too story. Yeah. They're like, if you want to argue, you need to learn how to argue. And so they were like, you should do speech and debate. So I did it my freshman year, completely fell in love, did not know how to do it at all, was completely terrible. And the first real tournament that me and my debate partner went to, we went 0-6 and lost 6 rounds in a row.
Oh, ouch.
But now we are loving it, and I just qualified for nationals in it. Oh my and gosh. It's a lot of fun. But what it's really helped me with, I mean, we get in all our fancy suits and stuff, like YMCA, but what it's really helped me do is learn how to communicate and learn that communicating is probably one of the most important ways to be part of a community.
Yeah, that's huge, that especially to hear teenagers say that, because, you know, a common boomer complaint over here is that kids are like this on phones and can't look someone in the eye and have a conversation, right?
Yeah.
But I think the pendulum is swinging. I think more people your age are realizing the detriment of not being able to communicate.
100%.
Yeah.
Well, what's it like when you're at those speech and debate tournaments? So, I mean, do you see that with other kids, or what's that environment like, I guess, would be the question.
It is a mix of competition and fun. So you're in round, I mean, it depends on what you do. I did 2 different debate formats. I do a Congress, which is like a mock Congress, YMCA. Sure.
Oh, fun.
And then I do public forum, which is a debate format where it's just me and my partner against another team of 2, and it's a very slow paced, just logic kind of based argument. But what I've really found is in those, it's super competitive, but the second you get out, it's high fives, smiles, just like any other sport. There's a lot of real good sportsmanship that goes on in speech and debate.
I love that. So people aren't carrying hard feelings after sometimes, I mean, you don't know what the topics are going to be, right? And you might get emotionally involved.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we had this bill in this Congress session about medically assisted suicide and whether or not we should legalize it. And my dad has multiple sclerosis, so he lives a lot with a disability.
Right.
And so that bill was like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to approach that bill. But then you come to the realization that, oh, it isn't necessarily connect to you personally.
Right.
But you can use that connection to show how other people feel about it and how it impacts our world as a whole.
That's cool.
I was reading about your qualifying for nationals. It's in Des Moines in June. Yes. Right. And it said that you are house. Is that what is that what it's called with your partner?
No. So that's like Congress. You know, Congress is House and Senate.
Oh, got it.
I qualified in House. And I actually didn't know I was competing at national qualifiers for the House.
Surprise.
Until the day of, during fourth period, because one of my friends dropped. So we needed enough people to go so we could still take 6 people from Idaho to nationals to represent. And so I had nothing prepared. And I walk in my pink shirt, black suit, just hoping it works out. And I ended up qualifying, and it was quite
well done.
Weird.
Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Well, so, both of you, we joked about it earlier. Mm-hmm. You're both super involved, Riley, with the Youth Climate Action Committee in the city of Boise. I'd love to hear about that a little bit. Yeah. But I think my larger question is, I'm type A. I like to be busy all the time. I like to do a lot of things.
Yeah.
Is there pressure there, or how do you guys approach that? I guess with the youth committee.
I don't know. I mean, it wasn't really pressured on me to, like, my parents never said, you need to do this, you need to do this. It was so open. It was you.
So your pick choice. Your path.
It was all my choice. And I think that was from like a young age. I've always known kind of what I've wanted to do like in the future. And so I'm like, okay, like, it's going to be a hard road. I might as well get a head start, you know? And so it just kind of was who I became in a way. But the Climate Council was so unexpected. And it was just the most randomest story. I mean, last year, junior year, I'm hoping you're doing all right, because my junior year was...
Junior year's tough.
It is the absolute worst. No one prepares you for it.
Okay, right? This is good to know. I don't no remember.
One so even more you. So than senior year is what I've heard from my
so
son.
So senior year's a breeze right now. In a way, it's like stressful outside of school, because you're having to make those like bigger life choices figure out and be like, okay, like, do I want to spend my time with these scholarships, with these schools, right? Like, you're putting in your time in other places that don't have to do with school.
Yeah. Sure.
But, you know, and you just don't want to be there, because you're like, well, I'm done. Like, I'm gone into 8 schools. Yeah. Like, why am I here in government?
Yeah.
Right? So, but junior year is when that kind of like ends. You're like, okay, like, this is my last year, because colleges are like, we don't care about your senior year. Like, we don't care what you're doing right now.
Right.
It's what have you been doing up until this moment? Sure. So of course, being myself, I was like, well, let me just pack in all these hard classes. So I decided
why
to take,
not?
Yeah, AP Chemistry, my junior year. And that
love
class,
the periodic table, it's so much fun.
Traumatizing. Of course, this is when they made it a block schedule and it wasn't like, I'm praying for the kids now that taking AP Chemistry is like the one, like not even block, but I was seriously struggle busting through that class, probably the hardest class I've ever taken. And I was up at like 12:30 at night, like studying for a test, like grinding. I was like, I don't understand anything.
Right.
And I get an email from my AP chemistry teacher and I didn't see this and I don't know how late it was, but I see this email or boost on Teams and she's like, hey, is this a great opportunity to be involved in the climate? And I was like, what? I'm like, well, I need a little brain break, so I'll just go apply.
Why not?
So at 12:30 in the morning, I just was like, well, I'm going to go apply to this climate council because, of course, I'll just add another thing onto it.
Right, why not?
Not really expecting, like, being with hands with the mayor and stuff. Like, I won't get accepted.
Right.
3 weeks later, they're like, hey, Riley, come on board. And I'm like,
let's do this.
Let's just pack in another thing. All my Wednesdays are going to be full from now on. Love that for me. And then I thought I was done in, like, June. And it was such a blast last year. And then they're like, hey, you want to come back? Like, be our co-chair? And I was like, sure. That's cool. This is my second year and it's so amazing. Yeah.
That's cool.
It's really incredible.
That's cool. Really cool. Yeah. That's cool.
I can't, I mean, I don't think of it as people your age being so involved and so driven, both of you, but it sounds like it's just, you can't help yourselves.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like being that involved, Colby? What, from your perspective, I mean, I don't want to twiddle my thumbs, but I don't want to speak for you. Is that how you feel or what's your approach there?
I mean, I'm involved with Babe Vote and Reclaim Idaho. So I'm just getting youth voters to vote and stuff and registering a whole bunch of people to vote, whether just getting you on the ballot and saying, oh my gosh, you need to vote. Do your duty.
Get out and do it.
You're doing it because so few kids actually vote. So like the statistic right now is 0.04% of all eligible youth voters actually voted, which is crazy.
The West Ada Education Foundation's Thank a Teacher program is a great way to support and express gratitude for your child's teacher.
El programa Agradezca a un Maestro de la Fundación para la Educación de West Ada es una excelente manera de apoyar y expresar gratitud por el maestro de su hijo.
All proceeds directly benefit the teacher or program designated at the time of donation.
Todos los ingresos beneficiarán directamente al maestro o al programa designado en el momento de la donación.
You can find a link in the episode description to thank a teacher.
Puedes encontrar un enlace en las notas del programa del podcast para hacer una donación.
All right, so I know what it was like to be a high schooler back in the day, as the kids say. All I know is high school dances have gotten way, way, way more complicated than when I was a high schooler. Why? Someone tell me why. With all the invitations and you got to like do posters and like.
Oh, my gosh.
Promposals.
Yeah. So, I think promposals. I love a good promposal. Yes. Those things, they're never going to go out of style. They're always tradition. I mean, some people have really lame ones, but then there's also like the super cute ones. You're like, oh my gosh.
Right.
How do you define super cute?
I don't even know. Honestly, it's like creativity.
I have a super cute creativity. My son asked his former girlfriend to homecoming with, she's a softball player, so he got a home plate and like wrote on the home plate.
Oh, like,
that is so cute. That is cute.
That's creative. I've never seen anything like that.
We did not do that back in the day. I'm just telling you right now.
No, and like the whole like where you can like scan a Spotify like thing.
Oh, yeah.
People so do though. Like it's the social media aspect with it is nice when you can like play a song with your picture. Like it's cute.
Is it all about the buildup though? Because it seems like a lot of kids do the proposal or whatever, get dressed up, maybe do dinner, but do they really show up at the dance?
For Renaissance, we have had the highest turnout this year for our school. So we had around 450 people come in a 700-person school.
That's a high percentage. That's cool.
That is
amazing.
Never happened before
for Renaissance. Which dance was that for?
That was for homecoming even. Okay. So it wasn't even like
prom is about to be
amazing.
Is hopefully amazing. Oh, wow. So it better
I'm
be
show
amazing.
Up at his prom.
Yeah. I showed up at your guys' homecoming, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Our homecoming was like a neon theme. Yeah. And so we were just like, let's do it all DIY. Like, let's just kind of save the money a little bit. Let's splurge in like our bonfire. And we got food trucks at our like homecoming bonfire. So that was like our little explosion.
Okay, tell about
thing.
The homecoming bonfire. I don't know that.
Oh, okay. So I feel like most, I know Mountain View does it. I think Eagle probably does it.
Mountain View does for sure, yeah.
We started it like a year ago, 2 years ago, just for fun. Fun fact, my dad is a forest firefighter. So he pulls
was
up.
Was he invited?
Oh, he manned the fire. Okay. He was there until like 11 o'clock, like pouring water, like making sure
it's someone's
safe.
Property? Or?
It's at the school.
Oh, it's at the school.
Yeah, okay. So the girls' softball team, they let us use their field. We just clean it up, like get rid of the go heads, whatever, all that jazz.
Right.
No, but my dad donated some of like, you know, the bricks, and you build like a round, big, huge fireplace. Our stagecraft team built us a stand with this RC on it.
Right.
So it would light on fire when we like lit it, you know, lit the bonfire, goes up in flames. And we just manned it, and we got a bunch of firewood donated from one of my dad's friends. And we do it like typically that Thursday night before the football game. Football game happens, they do royalty, and then that Saturday is homecoming.
That's so cool.
Fun. Yeah. I'd be all about
that
it.
Is so cool.
It is so fun. Typically, we try to do like our Powerpuff team like week, but it didn't end up happening. We're going to do that later. But
cool.
Last year, that's how it was. But.
So that's fun.
Prom's kind of similar in a way without the football vibes, but.
Well, I mean, so one of the reasons I love having both of you on as well is because your schools are very different. I mean, Centennial,
very different.
I mean, Colby, like Renaissance, a little smaller, completely rigorous. What's Renaissance like?
An experience. It is nothing like, I cannot put it into words what it is necessarily like, because you're walking into a school where, first of all, it is everybody from Centennial to Owyhee and Boise kids. And I have friends from CUNA that go to Renaissance.
Wow,
like, it is everywhere. It's eclectic in nature.
Sure.
And same with the educational style. Like, it is nothing. Like, I do IB DP, which is just lab. Best way I've described it.
Explain that. Because a lot of people don't speak education.
International Baccalaureate Diploma Program.
Okay.
Long, absurd name, but the best way I've ever had it described to me is basically AP on steroids.
Okay.
So
fun.
Amazing. So, I can imagine that one. Riley, are you jealous?
Yeah.
You have so much fun with
it's
that.
It's so much fun. So
let's do this.
Basically, it's a 2-year program where you take one class. So I'm in bio. We're going to take bio, for example. I'm in bio and I take it for 2 years.
Okay.
Same bio class for 2 years. And in that, so it's a higher level course. And I don't understand what that means necessarily, because I don't know.
But sure.
It takes this, and I have a collaborative science project where I have to design, create, execute my own lab in a team of 4 to 5.
Mm.
And then I have my IA, which is individual assessment, which is sent up to IB graded. But then that is me executing, designing, creating my own lab, writing a exactly 2,000 word essay about it, and implementations on society, looking at reflections and stuff. So that was just bio, but that's what we have to do for all 6 IB courses.
Does it feel overwhelming sometimes? I mean, that's a lot. Does it feel overwhelming? Because you're doing all the other things we've already talked about.
Oh yeah, it has been. I am in my second year of math right now, because they just threw me in because I took pre-calculus last year. So they're like, oh, you're going to take statistics and calc this year. So that's IB Math 2 SL.
Okay.
So I just wrote my math IA and submitted it. So it's done. So I have my 2,000 word math essay out of the way.
Good job.
Math essay. Wow.
Yeah, I know. Okay, that's talent. It's an experience.
Okay, so this is a diploma program.
Yes.
So when you graduate next year, you'll have an international baccalaureate diploma. Explain this to me.
Hopefully.
Okay.
So
that's
you'll
the goal.
Graduate and you'll get your STOLE. And if you graduate passing all your IB tests, so just like AP, you have tests at the end of the 2-year period. So you have 2 tests. They're called papers in each of your classes. English, everything is just 2 papers per class. But you'll graduate with your STOLE, and then you'll come back in December of that year and get your diploma. Right. So you don't get the actual, I know.
But can it like Can it go to any college?
Yes. So okay, that's the nice. Credit yeah. transfer nice. For IB is basically like, oh, you did IB. It raises acceptance rates a lot. I know for a fact, like my English course, it transfers. So if I get a 5, so it's a 7 scale, unlike AB, it's weirdly yeah. long. sure, but if I get sure. a 5 on my English exam, I can go to BSU with 15 English credits, I think, 12 wow. to 15 English
That's
credits
amazing.
Just from that transfer right there.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Well, in Centennial, I mean, you've already talked about AP Chem. Yeah. I mean, it's a different experience. What I don't know. Yeah. This is a 30,000-foot question, but what's Centennial like?
So regarding those, we have like the same thing, right? But we partner sure. with BSU. So sophomore start or getting your associate's degree.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we have the like very similar thing. You offer all the AP classes. Probably any class you can think of at Centennial is going to be college credit.
Right.
I mean, the basic classes, math, English, history, science, all of them, I've gotten all for college credits. So
that's cool.
Going into college, I'll have 45 college credits, like over a range of different subjects. So whether they take my math credits or not, it'll transfer over and I won't have to take a random pottery class, you know,
right.
just to fulfill like a
credit know. Requirement
exactly for, yeah. exactly
that's
so,
kind of what my son did and I'm telling you your parents will be happy because right? it's worth
they
a
give
lot
you
of
$4,000 yeah, so like you might as well use it. I have a exactly. friend that ran out
yeah
and I'm oh, like yeah. good for you
yeah.
No
yeah,
but yeah. Centennial has very similar things. I feel like I've heard all my friends who are like at Eagle or Mountain View just running into people from like blast from the past, like what is your high school experience, right? And mm-hmm. What they tell me is so different from Centennial, just in a way, because I feel like Centennial is not that typical high school experience, right? Like you imagine like cliques and drama and like, you know, like terrible cafeteria lines and just like, that is not Centennial.
It's not the stereotype.
No, there yeah. is no stereotypes at our school.
That's pretty
cool.
Do you
feel like it's because it's a nice, like a broad cross section of
it
the community?
It really is. And it's like Centennial, I mean, we definitely need some upgrades. Like, you know, we're not a very high tier. We don't look like a Waihee. We're not like Eagle. But I feel like in a way that makes us more grateful for what we have.
Sure.
And that makes the people there kind of closer knit. Mm. But yeah, I came in early from lunch and I just was walking through the halls and I'm like, this is just crazy. You don't really see just like a group of people stuck in the cafeteria or like just people. Everyone is dispersed talking to one another.
That's unique.
Our library is always full during lunch. Our library is always hosting something. There's like a jewelry making class that was going on. And I was
how
like,
fun.
How cool is this? Like, I'm about to skip lunch tomorrow. And like, okay, like, let me do this. But no, it's just Centennial is full of like many surprises. And I'm grateful for that like lack of drama in a way
sure.
that you hear about in other schools. And
sure.
just
sure.
the staff there is cool. amazing. Like I just wouldn't be anywhere without them.
So would both of you say like you don't, I mean, my office looks out into Renaissance halls, right? So I get a unique yeah. perspective of the
okay,
kids.
That's
probably
cool.
They have a unique perspective of me like a zoo animal in my office.
What is she doing yeah. in there?
But it doesn't seem, and I've spent some time at Centennial, and from what you're mm-hmm. saying, does it seem like bullying is really not an issue? Or have we been, mm-hmm. is that a dead horse that we beat over the years?
It isn't that big of an issue. Like there yeah. is bullying, but it isn't like some movie bullying that
yeah,
you see
right.
all
yeah,
the time.
Like the pushing, the shoving into yeah. a locker. Yeah. I have yet to see a fight at Centennial, like this semester at least. Last year, I heard of a few, or last semester. But
yeah.
like there's yeah. no really like big bullying situations that I have seen ever.
That's,
and if so,
cool.
I mean, they're hiding it pretty well over social media. Yeah. But even via our socials, like I run all of our student council accounts. Everything is positive. Like all the comments are positive. Like we get no negative.
That is crazy.
Feedback.
I know. I love
yeah,
that.
Yes.
Crazy.
Even at our real CHS, like we, like our rivalry with Capital is insane. And like
thus the real CHS for you guys
yeah.
who are listening.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Us, yeah. the real CHS.
Yeah. She's pointing to herself. You guys were listening. Yeah. Yeah.
No, just like the kindness and the planning that went behind that this year absolutely blew me away.
That's cool.
We had some difficulty last year and with Capital, there was a lot of just kind of like trying to figure out ways to communicate effectively and get what each school wants out of the event. And this year was a testament to that hard work, I would say. And
that's cool.
Even the chant, everything about that event was so respectful, and I feel like it just gives off like such a good vibe from Centennial, you know, like that, not like, oh, like we're better than you, even though we won and we got we do got here. No, but it's just those little things
that's cool
that really come and like show that respect that I feel like as a school we have.
Right. Well, kind of shifting in gears a little bit, like okay, I'm not asking who your favorite teacher is, but what teachers have most inspired you and why? Colby, maybe start with you.
Definitely my sophomore year and junior year English teachers. So Carly Bryant and Garrett Plummer. So Mr. Plummer and Mrs. Bryant, they have changed genuinely how I think about English. I've always been like the English kid, the LA kid. But what they have expanded it to is more of, it isn't just reading some book. It's about applying your literature to a global perspective and showing how it is this, not just a book, it's a representation of the world going on and how a simple piece of literature is just a testament to time.
Wow.
I love that.
You both are so eloquent. You're like blowing my mind. I'm pretty sure I was not at your level in my junior and senior.
I know
high
that
school.
I wasn't. But I still remember like some of my high school teachers way back in the day that inspired me. Like Mr. Prentice, my Asian history teacher, kind of the same kind of thing. Yeah. I don't know, Riley, like who gets your juices flowing?
Right now I'm taking a college anatomy class. Typically it's a class you take your junior year. So I'm taking it with the juniors now. So I'm like kind of like that lone wolf, like in there, sure. Like awkward.
The mom in class.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, you're just going to sit here. Mr. McFarland, he is Scott McFarland. If you know him.
Yeah,
is incredible. I have never seen a teacher hold a class so accountable for just doing their best. The way he teaches, every single unit is themed something unique. Like one unit was Chuck Norris. We had like 7 or 8 Chuck Norris jokes a day.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So
love that.
I'm giving him like all, my dad is like a calendar of like Chuck Norris jokes. So I'm just like keep giving him all the days.
He
is amazing. He strives like, okay, like we're getting an 85% as a class average above, like the kids are pounding on the desks waiting to hear their class average. Like it's just a great environment to be in. And so you have like that teacher who's so ecstatic and like involved. And then my sophomore year AP bio teacher, my first AP class I've ever took, I was like, I don't know what to do. This is so scary. She was amazing. Andrea Carlson, I literally am TAing for her this year. Awesome. And I did last year because it is the only class that I feel like I can get like work done. I'm solidly like committed writing college essays because of the way that she like upheld like her standards of like, this is an AP class. Like my brain is like functioned to work hard, like in that class. And there's just teachers like that who just hold you to a higher standard. And I don't know if you know, Susie Four.
Oh yeah. She's great.
Yeah.
Right?
She is the most like, you can do this. Like, I'm not going to help you, but I will help you if like you genuinely need it. But like, come on, like, let's go, like do it. And so I have AP Calc with her this year and student council. So I spend every morning, I start my day off with her.
Oh, wow.
And the two different teaching styles she has between like, you know, like a math class and then also like a leadership class is just incredible to see the wide like range. But honestly, I've not been pushed as hard as she's pushed me.
It's great to hear you, both of you, being able to articulate this about your teachers because we have amazing teachers in the
really
district.
Really,
and I think
do.
People don't really understand that or appreciate it and realize it. So thank you for sharing about them.
Well, and I love that. I love what I'm hearing from you is like, we want to strive for excellence.
Yes.
And that's okay. I mean, sometimes... when I was a kid, it was like, oh, these kids are too lazy. But that's not what I'm hearing from you all or from your teachers.
No.
Yeah. And like when I was in high school, the cool teachers were the ones who didn't require very much of you, right? Like,
no,
oh, we got to watch a video. And both of you are like, no, they challenged us.
A
sometimes
little
you need
now,
a little break. But
you know, you're like, hey, this teacher's cool. We're just doing a mock Congress. Like, that's it. But it just depends on the teacher, I feel like.
Love that.
Yeah.
Seniors, we want to spotlight you and all the incredible aspects of your high school career. The West Ada Ready Senior Spotlight is a chance for the class of 2024 to let West Ada know about your unique journey and post-graduation aspirations. Help us share your story. To learn how to participate, click on the link in the show notes.
All right, social media. It seems like that's the thing that all of us parents are freaking out about. We're stressed out about social media. Did we give it to our? Did we let our kids have it too young?
Yeah.
You know,
what's the right age?
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Colby, what do you think about social media and how it's affecting your generation?
It is definitely a double-edged sword. Like, there's always going to be an essence of negativity based on anything. That's just anything in life. There's always going to be that dark, bad, not good side. But majorly, what I see social media being used as is a way to promote school spirit, is a way to show your identity in a way that you may not be able to in school, right?
Yeah, that's a great point.
This provides you a different and separate outlet, but sometimes it does, you know, have that negative impact, that negative influence. Yeah. But overall, it has such a positive effect on, like, oh my gosh, did you see we're doing this at school? Or, oh my gosh, is this happening? Kind of five.
Okay, debate guy. I'm going to take the opposite. I'm going to take the opposite.
Okay,
let's do it.
Okay, so we've got all these software engineers who are trying to monopolize your time with algorithms.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Is that a thing? And I mean, for either one of you.
Yes. I feel like she was in a meeting. Yeah, our ASB meeting. We talked about. I don't remember the name of the documentary. I don't know if you've seen it. I can
Social
describe
Dilemma.
It. Social yes. Dilemma.
Oh yep. Yeah.
You should watch that. It will blow your mind.
Yeah.
Blow your mind.
Why?
It pinpoints the exact algorithm of when you're scrolling on Instagram, when you're on TikTok, when you're on Pinterest. And I think Pinterest is a little different, but Instagram, for instance, you're scrolling on Instagram, right? And they're sitting there behind a computer watching you, and you stop for 10 seconds on this, I don't know, this...
A Temu shirt or something.
Yeah, something. Next thing you know... You're just gonna keep scrolling, and you're just gonna keep seeing the ads of those. It is so incredibly creepy. I was at Lily's. I was at my best friend's house today.
Sure.
I walked into her house and I saw a New Yorker cute little tote bag off this chair.
Right.
And I was like, oh my gosh. Didn't say anything about it. Phone didn't hear anything. Next 15 minutes, I open up Instagram. The first ad on my phone is a New Yorker, the same tote bag.
Oh god.
That is creepy.
Yes. And I don't know if it's coincidence, but I just was like, why? Yeah. How? Right? Like, there's those negatives of, there's always going to be that kind of that side of social media.
Yeah. And I don't want to be old guy. I mean, get off my lawn guy, or because I'm always that guy. but I think it does. I think we all have to kind of be aware of the time, because I don't disagree with you, Colby. I mean, there's good and there's bad to every piece of technology. Mm-hmm. But not to be redundant, but I'm being redundant. Can it be a huge time suck for you and your friends?
It definitely can, but I feel like that also teaches our generation discipline.
It's self-control.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna waste your life away and just scroll forever, or you gotta learn and understand that, you can scroll, but this needs to happen.
Yeah.
You can't just scroll forever.
Right.
It's going to teach you self-control.
Consequences of it. I don't know. I think there's a difference with me. I love a good 20-minute lay in my bed TikTok break after school.
Yes. Sure.
Like,
a little brain candy.
Yeah. I love it.
I'm down with that. Yeah.
My bed's going to be warm. It's going to be great. Right. So I love those. And I will be honest. I will be sitting in a class and I'm just I don't remember what I was just learning. I was supposed to be working on this essay, and next thing you know, I'm like a rabbit hole on Pinterest, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So that's an issue, but that's also on the person, and I feel like how if we're going on children, I want to say how they're kind of brought up and they're role models in a way. Is it acceptable to be on your phone for a little bit, but then also have that phone life balance, I feel like? Mm. And I was raised up that way. And so for me, I figured it out. Sophomore year of high school, I was my phone needs to go away. I can get things done when I'm focused, when I put on my do not disturbs.
Was that you or was that your parents?
That was me.
Yeah.
And I see it with my brother more often, I think, because of he's 2 years behind me. So when TikTok really became popular, he was right there getting his phone. Like, he was a very social person. I'm like, I sure. can't do what he does on a regular basis. He's out all the time with okay. people, and I'm just, wow. But we see it now, especially my parents. They're like, oh my gosh, like, this kid is just addicted to his phone. I'm like, right. it's the time. Like, all of his friends are there. I think if people stopped using it as much, it wouldn't be as, like, such an attention grabber. So his idea is, well, this is a part of my life now.
Right.
Right. Like, this is my life. And for me, it's like, that's an extension of my life. Yeah. And I feel like that's a different way
to look at it. Yeah.
That you look at it, and it just comes down to self-control, which is why I'm like, okay, like, it's good in schools that we're having that self-control. But when these freshmen go off to college, I'm worried, because they're just going to be like, this teacher is not taking my phone. There's no phone pocket. I'm just going to.
This is on you.
Yes.
This is on you.
And then they're going to learn, and they're going to realize it. And I think that's just what it takes. Yeah. If we're going to live with it, we have to learn self-control.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you kind of taught yourself that. Colby, you too? Yep. Your parents, did your parents like institute some hard rule? Or
no, I have a very chillaxed kind of home life. And we genuinely didn't have any rules about that. I got a phone sixth grade when I was starting to be home alone and lot and stuff.
Yeah.
And like didn't have any social media. That was their hard rule until like freshman year, sophomore year. They're like, okay, you're getting older and it's a very big part of my like generation's culture. Like,
agreed, 100%.
It's part of our
how you
culture.
Communicate with people. Don't really text, right? You like snap with each other or something. You text?
I think the older you get, the more you realize how stupid Snapchat is.
Yes.
It's just
I love this. Life.
It really, really is. Like, freshman year, like, Mom, can I please get Snapchat?
I
like,
get
no,
Snapchat.
It's terrible for you. Like, people steal stuff. Like, it's always on the internet. No, it's not. It's fine. And now I'm in senior year, and I'm like, I don't open up Snapchat very often. It's like, let me just, like, why? Why are we posting on Snapchat stories? Yeah. No one cares, right?
Yeah. Right.
Like, no one's opening up, checking on it, right? Like,
okay, I'm the old, out of touch old guy, because I am the self-proclaimed king of the snappy, as I call it. But to your point about, you know, it being, it's a good tool. It's a way for me to kind of stay connected, honestly, with my son and some of his friends who are in Arizona. Yeah. It's all, so it can be good, but there's obviously the downside.
There's the downside.
Always the downside.
What about if you were to, because you have a younger sister
and you have
a younger brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if you could do something different to help them get to your point, or get to the point where you are, to where you think Snap is dumb and you're kind of over stuff, or you have good time management.
Yeah.
What kind of tools or?
I have consistently told my sister that Snapchat is completely stupid and she should not get it. And she has yet to download Snapchat. So I feel like she's just going to continue with it. But even like if she does, like, it's about learning that self-control before you do it, because that's kind of what Snapchat is. It's an essence of not being able to control yourself.
No, it's not.
Well, but TikTok's kind of, forgive me if I'm being dumb, but TikTok's the same way, or am I wrong?
I don't have TikTok. I don't know.
TikTok has become more and more unique. And to me, I use it as a tool, like a resource, rather than like a downside. I feel like
just consuming nonsense. Like, what? Yes, how do you
Instagram,
use it as a resource?
Like, you're scrolling on Instagram is such a platform to be fake. I feel like it is such a platform to highlight the perfect parts of your life and to not show the bad. And granted, there's plenty of people that are so just candid with their lives on it. But when you open up TikTok and you like, it filters, you know, what you like, what you like are liking, what you're saving, what you're taking your time on more. It's actually so incredibly beneficial of just the ways that people can quickly put things out there that are just like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go make that cookie recipe.
Yeah.
You know, like, what a healthy snack idea. I saw that, like, okay, I saw this at lunch. I'm going to go home and make this. Right. And I guess that's also like, how is your feed filtered?
Right.
You know, my feed's filtered, I feel like, in a positive aspect.
What are you consuming?
Yes, exactly. And, you know, there's also probably kids who are seeing the darker side of TikTok, which is why I think there's no way to control it, because every single person is different. And especially like with the ways that you can filter and like change the settings, you're never going to be able to like stop what people are viewing.
It's like Riley said earlier, it's like an extension of who you are.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not totally shifting gears here, but I kind of want to know, okay, and this is a hard question, and I realize it's a hard question, but So along these lines, or maybe even a different line, but what do you all wish your parents or teachers knew that it's like to be a high schooler in 2024 that maybe they don't know? And I know it's a hard question, but what do you wish our generation knew?
Yeah. You want to take it away?
Okay. I know it's a hard. I get it. It's hard.
Yeah.
It isn't horrid. Like, yeah. You see, I mean, for us, we only see how the world is consistently ending. The world is about to end. Everything is going downhill. Everything is not doing well. But even when consuming that, like, our parents tend to think that, oh my gosh, what's wrong with my child? Do they just think the world is ending? We don't.
Yeah.
That's wonderful to hear, because I don't believe that.
Yeah. You're optimistic. You.
Yeah.
Optimistic.
No, because, and that's why, like, Riley and I both do the things we do. Like, we know that there can be change, and we want to learn how to be part of it. So
that's cool.
Most of the time, your kids, I mean, if this is me speaking as a kid who does a lot, like, it's just they're trying to find a way to find their voice because they feel so overpowered by either social media or everything on the news.
Right.
They're just trying to find a way to speak, and they want to be listened to.
Yeah.
That was great.
I love that
perspective. Very well put. Yeah. I think I would say that from the ages, like, when you enter high school, there is so much to your brain. It's like a buzzing beehive. Like, there's like, okay, you need to memorize to do this. You have to do this. You have to figure out when you're going to get involved, what you're going to do. You have chores to do. You have to get a job. You have to get your license. You have to get a car. You're going to pay for your car. Like, so many things. You're like,
it's
just trying to escape that, like, hole, that, like, dark hole of being like, what do I have to do next, right?
Uh-huh.
And I wish that teachers and just adults would know how important it is to just be patient. Mm-hmm. And I think there are people out there that are just like, we understand you, we hear you. But I was raised with so much patience and just, like,
that's cool.
Let you kind of, like, we're here for you, but, like, kind of let you grace and patience. I think grace and patience is one of the biggest things that I think teachers and administrators and just the schools in general need to take on, and just understanding that every single person is different. Like, every single person has a home life, has relationships that could be crumbling around them that no one knows. Like, there's so many aspects of someone's life. And then when you add that into a whole nother life inside of high school, it's so overwhelming. And I think we just expect the kids to just be like, 4 years, move on with your life.
Yeah.
No big deal. Every single person does this. But with, like you said, like with social media, that's just another thing.
Right.
And then you just have so many things that add up that you just need that time to have grace, to have patience, and be like, you know what? Like, it's okay to not go to school because you just don't feel like it today, or you just have too much that you don't. Like, it's the little things that I feel like we're held to such a high expectation that there's not a really, like, cushion for fail. Yeah. Like, there's no cushion. Like, you're not jumping into a ball pit of, like, hey, it's fine, I'll climb back up. It's just like, oh, shoot, you hit rock. Like, you're down.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to help you. And there's also different people, right? Different teachers that have that grace and patience, and other teachers like, hey, you're fine. Like, you can do it. Like,
you got this.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. Like, use Google. Like, use ChatGPT. Like, you're fine. You're like, no, like, that's not what I need from you right now. And so I think that's an aspect that grace and patience.
Wow. I love that. That's deep.
I feel a little teary as a parent, right? Like, grace and patience. I should probably put some sticky notes around the house.
And I mean, high school was tough back in the day too. Yeah. But and I'm not blowing sunshine at you guys, but you guys are dealing with a lot.
Yeah.
And I don't believe the world is ending. I mean, I'm a very optimistic, you know. But I think too. So maybe along the same lines, like, I love golf. Mulligans, a do-over.
Yes.
If you could go back to your younger self and say, hey, you could use it to your, you know, what you're only lines what you're talking about. What do-over would you tell your younger self? Or maybe what advice would you have to our younger kids in West Ada now? Again, I know these are hard questions, but
that's interesting. I think for me, my advice would be to take, like, more time away from school. I think senior year has shown me that. Like, just honestly, like, prioritizing yourself, and I think that also comes with time. Like, you realize what is important to you and stuff, especially when you're, like, the chance of, like, losing it, you know. You're like, okay, like, I'm leaving, like, you've realized what's important. But I think just slowing it down. There's so much. You have 4 years. Like, there's no need to rush it. Like, just take your time. Like, it's okay to not watch that video for homework. Like, the world is not going to end. And I've genuinely realized that, like, this year is like the world's not ending because I didn't do one thing that's just going to stress me out even more. Like, I chose sleep, or I chose watching half a movie with my family on a Sunday night instead of
spending time with your family is just as important.
Oh my gosh. Just the little things of just like, you know what? Like, I don't need to do this right now. Like, prioritizing yourself over what everyone else expects from you is so important.
Yeah.
I love hearing that from two very high achievers, because I think it is important.
You learn it sometimes.
Yeah.
But do you think you'd still be achieving as much if you had chilled a little bit? You think you would have had room to chill if you could?
I think, I don't know. There's a gap. Like, there's that bridge between chilling too much and not caring, and between caring so much that you can care enough for yourself to, like, settle it down.
Yeah.
And my mom, junior year, hard times, was like, Riley, you're burning both ends of your candle right now. Yeah. Like, something has got to give, right?
Right.
Like, and I think that's such a great way to put it. I feel like the entire high school, you're burning this end and you're burning this end, and you have to find a way to put out the fire and just to, like,
Well, but Colby, you're over there nodding your head saying that to be able to chill is important. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think I had the exact same conversation with my mother about 2 weeks ago about how I was burning the candle at both ends. Yeah. And I mean, it's just a moment. You, like, need to remember that you aren't human. Like, you are human, not aren't human. remember, you aren't human.
Yes.
You got to remember that you are human. Like, you can't do every single
thing. You can't be Superman.
You can't be Superman. You can't do that.
Sometimes Clark Kent is okay.
I know, exactly. Sometimes Clark Kent is okay. I mean, a stable job, stable life, right?
Yeah.
Like, you got to find stability and don't be crazy, chaotic. Like, I know my sophomore year, I was doing everything and then some. I was part of everything I could be, and I was doing so much, but then I realized I don't care about that. I don't need to do it,
right?
But do something I care about, and I can make change.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Just like, good. I feel like suggesting, like, you find three things, right? I think I saw something. I read an article and was like, you should have three sections of hobbies, right? Something for your mind, like your body, and then I think it was like mentally. I don't know.
Your spirit or your mental outlook.
Yes, totally. And I think that's enough. When you put enough time into a smaller amount of things rather than like 10 things compared to like 3 or 4, you're going to get so much more reward from the 3 and 4 instead of the 10. When you're like, shoot, I have to do this and I forgot about this and I don't get to see my family and I don't get to see my boyfriend or my girlfriend, you know, like
the quality.
Yes. The quality is so much better than just like writing something on your resume or checking off another box, right? Like, you want that. You want to fill all the voids in your life. You're like, you know, like, I kind of want to do some, like, a sport team, or I want to do like a government thing. I want to do those things you can put so much more quality time into.
I love that.
Yeah.
Well, both of you guys are really pointed towards college. It's obviously a big deal in West Ada of college and career ready. I know you've got friends who are probably more pointed towards career. We're talking about it already, but is that college and career ready thing? Is that a pressure thing, or is it from your perspective? I'm seeing shaking your heads. No, is it not a pressure thing?
No,
it's like such a positive outlook. Yeah. It has been hyped up so much. I mean, Centennial wise, at least, it's like our college career counselor is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
I mean, Renaissance, you literally are going there. It's like, oh my gosh, you're going to be in college your sophomore year. Like, you're graduated and done with all your high school credits. Your college or sophomore year. Like,
yeah.
It's shifting the outlook.
Yeah. And I mean, even for career, like, we do our CP programs, like CTE classes.
Yes.
Like, all of those things, like, it shows that, oh, you're in Idaho. Like, you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But you can go to school, and it's like incentivizing not education, but a joy of education and a joy of giving back to your community.
And like super being cool. successful. And like I said, it's like changing the outlook, right? You can put a negative persona on it of like, oh my God, it's so much work and it's going to be so tiring. But instead, this is so rewarding. The government gives you $4,000. use it.
Yes.
Like, your teachers are amazing here. You'll be taking college classes with your friends that you have right now. Like, there's so many different ways to pinpoint that success rate from it. And honestly, I cannot even imagine why, not a single student would not want to participate. Mm-hmm.
That's in cool. And the fast forward funding.
Why are you not? I'm seeing all these kids register and I'm like, just do it. Like, why are you not? And it's just amazing the difference you see. I don't know if you see it, but when you take a college class compared to a regular class, it's such an astronomical difference because they know that you're there because you want to be there.
And you
want to
be challenged.
And you want to be challenged and you expect to be challenged and you want to work harder compared to just a kid, you know, that's like, I just want to get through it. And that's totally fine. Like, I just, you know, just get through it, whatever.
Right.
But the teachers then are just like, okay, whatever. But then you're with a college class, right? And they're like, you know what? Like, no, like, you're here for a reason. Let's make it worthwhile.
Right.
And so that's the difference. And I was pressuring my brother. I'm like, just do it. I'm like, just take it. He goes, I'm not very good at math. I was like, that's the whole point. You will get good at math. Right. They'll help you. I'm like, every kid is struggling in math, Tanner. Yes. Right. You're fine. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so Colby, you still have a year to decide.
I do.
So you're not quite, are you thinking about any kind of direction for after high school?
Well, I can go either into neuroscience or law. So that's how that's how broad I am right now.
So, and that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, we'll see how it goes. But like, those are kind of just my broadness. But all I know is that what I'm doing right now is building me up to understand college.
Like,
Very good.
Friend Amaya, she went to Duke, and then she just, I was like, oh, how's college? And she texts back, it's easier than Renaissance.
Oh, so, at Duke.
So you'll, at Duke. Yeah. So,
and she's a hardworking person.
Oh, she's so hardworking.
So I'll include a link in our show notes. Amaya was one of our West Ada Ready students last year. And I love that she says it's easier than Duke is easier than Renaissance. That's interesting.
That is crazy in Ivy League compared to, high school.
Riley, you're in the, like, sending off all the essays and, like,
I'm in, like, the portion of, you know, when you're getting, like, that letter back and you're like, is it thicker or is it thin? Like, am I in or am I out?
Okay,
like,
give us some details. What are, like, some of your exciting?
Well, I know what I'm going into. Okay. I know I'm going to do biology or biomedical sciences.
Okay.
Right.
The goal is to be a pediatric surgeon.
Awesome.
Oh, yes, that has been the goal.
Go for the easy stuff. I love it.
Med school, all that. That's the goal. So right now it's just been looking for a place that I know I'm going to thrive in.
Right.
I've looked at a lot of physicians and, like, talked to my surgeons who, like, did my ankles and, you know, like, where did you go to undergrad? And you just hear places that are just random, right?
Oh, absolutely. Well, you guys, I'm walking away from this conversation
hopeful.
So hopeful and so grateful. I love your generation. And to Katie's earlier point, I think our teachers they wouldn't do what they do if they didn't love your generation. Yeah. And I just can't thank you enough. It has been so
thank you.
Great to have this conversation.
Thanks for being awesome people and being great role models. I appreciate you.
Yeah.
And go class of 2024. Great to have you.
And 25.
And 25.
Yeah, you're going to kill it.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you guys so much.
Again, just so impressed with Riley and Colby. Thank you to both of them for being
thank you to them.
Being here today. What a great podcast. As always, you can find the West Ada Podcast on any platform where you get your podcast, Spotify, Google. If you're on iTunes, rate us and leave a review. We would love for you to do that. Or if you like to watch your podcast,
watch us.
Check it out on YouTube. Search West Ada and subscribe to the West Ada Podcast there as well. And we want to hear from you. Send us an email. Communicate@westada.org. We would love to line up episodes and guests and topics that are really good for you as parents, as teachers, for all of our West Ada community. And our next guest, perhaps you've heard of this guy,
Spencer Danielson, coach, our new BSU head football coach. How exciting is this? I'm super excited. I know for sure my boys will definitely be listening to that episode, right?
For sure.
Get to have Coach Danielson on here. And so what a great perspective that's going to be.
Yeah. And at heart, I always believe that coaching is teaching. And so I can't wait to talk to him about who are the teachers, who are the coaches that have influenced him, because clearly that's going to relate to our West Ada community as well.
Right. It's going to be a great conversation for sure. And so that'll drop, I don't know if I already said this, but March 11th.
March 11th.
So thank you for being here.